Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 10. We're going to start there. And what I'm going to share on this morning is the word heart, manifestation. God said this morning to pour our hearts out before Him. And we've often heard the expression, you gotta have heart. Who has heard that expression? Almost everybody here, right? You gotta have heart. Well, what does that mean? You know, what does that mean? But we're going to look at what God's word says about heart. And the word heart is used over 1,000 times in the Bible. And we're going to read every one. Just kidding. We're going to look at a very small few of them. But it's used over 1,000 times. And in the Old Testament and New Testament, it's two different words, but they both mean the same thing. The word heart means the innermost part of your being. It's in the very depths of you. Like Chris taught a few weeks ago, he was talking on believing, and he mentioned that you don't think about your name. You know your name. That's in the very heart of you. You don't even have to think about it. And that heart is in the, you know, you're the innermost part of being in your heart, what you think in your heart. So in Romans, we're going to start in Romans, because this is where it all begins. In chapter 10, did I say chapter 10?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And starting in verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which is the, there's the article, the, it does not show up in the text, but it's in the Greek, that word of faith. It's the right way of believing. That is the word of the right believing, which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, that innermost being, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When we do this, or when we did it, you get born again. You got God's Spirit living within you because you believed in your heart that what God said was true. So, go to Matthew chapter 22. And we received so much from God when we got born again. Lots and lots of things. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36. It says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and every fiber of your being, your heart, your soul, and your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the word neighbor there literally means whoever's near. So that just about covers everybody. You know, you're out in the grocery store, you're in the parking lot, you're at work, you're with your family. You're to love your neighbor as yourself. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. First Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. That hidden wisdom God ordained before the world to our glory. That's something. That hidden wisdom. It's going to explain a little bit. Verse 7. But we speak the Verse 8, I'm sorry, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The devil killed Jesus Christ, had him killed, because he wanted to get rid of him because he was the Son of God, and he was proclaiming God's word unto the people. But what he didn't know, that Jesus Christ accomplished for us to be born again of God's Spirit. And now there's thousands, thousands, millions of people walking around with God and Christ in them. He shot himself in the foot because he didn't know, because God kept it hidden. Verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor hear near, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So, can anybody tell me some of the things that God's freely given us?
Redemption,
sanctification,
eternal life.
Sanctification, wisdom, righteousness, peace, mercy, grace, love. The list goes on and on. God freely gave us all things that we need in this life because he loves us. Matthew chapter 6. We're fully equipped. Matthew 6. I'm sorry.
No, we didn't hear. We didn't hear.
I need a megaphone. We're going to start in verse 19. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, will your heart be also. Now, it's very interesting. This is an Oriental book. It was written for the times and customs of those days and times. So this kind of doesn't make a lot of sense to us when we read it. But Bishop Casey Pillai, who understood all the Orientalism and wrote many works on the Bible about Orientalism, translates this verse as, it'll make a lot more sense, let not your thoughts be centered in material things where fears and worries breed defeat and frustration and where the doubts break through and steal your thoughts. But let your thoughts be centered in the Spirit, where neither fear nor worry breeds defeat and frustration, and where doubts do not break through and steal your thoughts. For where your thoughts are, there will your heart be also. That's amazing, isn't it? You know. So, we want our hearts and our thoughts to be on God and God in his word. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 34. Here's a contrast for you. O generations of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart. And this word abundance here is superabundance. And it's the same word that's used in John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And Jesus Christ says, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. That's superabundance. An interesting note, the thief cometh not but for to steal. And what we just read about our thoughts, that, you know, we don't want the fear and the doubts to steal our thoughts and to steal our heart. So, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of an evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Matthew chapter 5. and in verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And that word blessed is happy. You want to be happy? Happy are the pure or clean in heart, for they shall see God. You can go to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to look at a couple things in Proverbs. But in Ezra, Ezra was a scribe of the records. And in Ezra, it says that Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it and to teach it. He prepared, you know, it's a big key. We have to prepare our hearts to seek God's word. We just don't miraculously get this brand new wine when we get born again, you know. We have to prepare our hearts. But in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Okay, so in my brain, this is how my brain works. God is super, super smart, and I'm really, really dumb. So trust in the Lord with thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Why do we think that we know better than God? I'm trying to root that stuff out of my brain, that God knows much, much better than me. In Proverbs chapter 4, go over a page, at least in my Bible, verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And the word keep is guard. It says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And in the Companion Bible, E.W. Bullinger has a note on this verse that says, guard the heart as the great citadel, for out of it are the sources and outgoings of life. Guard it as it's like your most precious thing. Guard your heart with God's word. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going into the New Testament now for a little bit. So, how do we keep and guard our hearts and hold the word in our minds? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, the psalms were songs. And the Old Testament, the Israelites didn't have the written word. You know, they had the scrolls, but the people didn't have it. So when they went to synagogue, that's what they did. They sung the psalms. And they sung about God's word. And singing is a great way to retain the word in your heart and mind. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read these few verses from the Working Translation because I think it's just such a great I lost my thing. Ephesians chapter 4, it says, do not be anxious, distracted about anything, but in everything, by prayer and prayer request with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God, and the peace of God, which is more excellent than every way of thinking, will protect your hearts and your thinking in Christ Jesus. Wow. You're not alone. God's here, right there with you, helping you. You're not alone. So I think that's just so really great that God will protect your hearts and your thinking in Christ Jesus. Turn to Hebrews. Chapter 13, verse 1. we are to guard our hearts and God will protect our hearts. It's a, that's a given. That's a big thing to me in my head, you know. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9. But this is what we do. God will help us, but this is what we do. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, with unmerited divine favor from God. It's a good thing for our hearts to be established with grace. Not with meat, which have not profited them that have occupied therein. And then in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Everybody there?
Yep.
Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick. It's living. It's alive. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts, or a discerner, a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's our God. He knows what goes on inside our hearts. But he's right there with us, trying to help us. So we're going to go back to Psalm 31. A lot of page turning today. Verse 24, Psalm 31. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. God will strengthen our hearts. Psalm 73. Verse 26. Okay. My flesh and my heart faileth. Has anybody ever felt like that?
Mm-hmm.
My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Even when our hearts and our flesh start to fail us, God is our strength. He will help us. Psalm 119, verse 32. As it says in Psalm 103, he knows our praying, he remembers that we're dust. So. So when our hearts fails us, he's right there with us to strengthen us. Verse 32, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. God will enlarge our hearts, and that just means to make wide and large. God will make your heart wide and large, you know. Sometimes we need bigger hearts, you know, especially when we're dealing with other people. At least I do anyway. Psalm 51. Yeah. But he loves us, and he doesn't remember our sin anymore. When we got born again, we got, our sins were wiped away completely. And do we sin after that? Yes, but we have Jesus Christ as a mediator. We can go to God and ask for forgiveness, and he will forgive us our sins. And in Psalm 51, I'm just going to read this first part to you. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. So David saw Bathsheba. She was married to another man, and he had relations with her. And so he had her husband killed. I mean, he screwed up big time. I mean, really big time. Okay, so he does all of this. So God tells Nathan to go to David and confront him, and he told him what to tell him. And so David hears Nathan, and he has a change of heart. He realizes that he screwed up. He goes to God and asks for forgiveness, and God forgives him, you know, of his iniquity. And then he writes this psalm, Psalm 51. He writes his psalm, his prayer to God. And in verse 10, he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Mm. What a man. Mm-hmm. You know, I have this hanging in my kitchen in a frame on a picture. Mm. And I love it. "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me." That was David's heart. And in Acts, I don't know the verse and chapter, but you could probably look it up real easily, that God says that he found David, the son of Jesse, a man after his own heart. That's how God saw David, as a man after his own heart. Boy, oh boy. Psalm 119. So, God will strengthen our hearts. God comforts our hearts. God takes care of our hearts. We keep our hearts. We guard them. We guard our hearts, and we guard our thoughts and minds, and treasure his word up in our hearts. In verse Psalm 119, it says, "Thy word have I hid," and that's treasured up. "Thy word have I treasured up in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple, you know. And God's always there with us, helping us as we walk upon his word and go to him and go to his word.
What verse was that?
11.
Verse 11, I'm sorry. "Thy word," verse 11, "thy word have I hid in mine heart that I may not sin against thee." One of my all-time favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to close in 1 John 31. I mean, not 1 John 3. Helps if I can read what's written. Read what's written. And you can follow along in your Bible, but I am going to read verses 18. 1 John 3, 18 through 23. We're going to close here. "Little children, let us not love simply in word and tongue, but in action and truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth. We shall also assure our hearts before him. Even if our heart finds fault with us, because God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not find fault with us, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask of him, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and practice the things that are pleasing in his sight. Now this is his commandment. We should believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and we should love one another even as he gave us commandment."
Mm-hmm.
So, amen.